Our individualistic, self-oriented culture is anxiously crying out for leadership. Oh yes, everyone wants to do what's right in his own eyes, but our innate insecurity wants the burden of responsibility to be lifted and doesn't fancy living life totally without guidance and leadership. Well, there are plenty who want the prestige of being seen as leaders, of course, but as Douglas Adams observed, those keenest to be in power are those probably least well suited to it. I don't think he was all that far wrong. And yet the way to get Christians to a conference is still to make it sound as if it's going to be a conference on leadership. We're missing something here, and it could be serious, so let's pose the question. How would you prefer to be recognised? As a leader or as a follower? Welcome to the Thought for Today. Now, for many of us living in the West, the term follower carries associations of weakness of character, like when a person's lacking in backbone and just follows along with the crowd. We think of being a follower as lacking creativity and ambition and drive, but by contrast, a leader calls up ideas of an absolute truckload of virtues. They're efficient, creative, productive, charismatic. People follow them because they're outstanding people. Western-style businesses want to sign up leaders, not followers. And so it seems the churches, as they suck up the attitudes and ideals of the world all around them. But as much as our culture pushes us to aspire to be leaders, the Bible says virtually nothing about being a leader and an awful lot about being a follower. See, being faithful means being a follower of Jesus. Of course we're to be followers of Jesus. His call throughout his ministry was to follow him. So as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. That's Mark 1, 17 to 20, the very outset of Jesus' Galilean ministry. Now, we don't like the cost of that, but we can't openly argue with it and maintain any remote appearance of faith, because Jesus said, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." It's Matthew 10, 38. But there's more to this following theme in the scriptures, because Jesus wasn't just building a fan club. No, Jesus was building a team. And being a faithful means being a follower of other believers. Believers are also to be followers of those who follow Jesus faithfully. Check it out in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, where Paul writes, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Oh, these people are what Dr. John Cotter refers to as the guiding team. They are second tier who lead the outsiders to the leader and guide existing believers in the way. But even that doesn't exhaust the full range of faithful following. Because in Scripture, being faithful means following God's unfaithful leaders as well. Now, sometimes it can be hard to grasp the teaching of Romans 13 that the powers that be in the land are leaders that have been ordained by God. But we learn in Romans that it's precisely because of that fact that God wants us to be followers of those whose own station in life demands our obedience, even when they're not Christians. And Paul wrote this to Christians living under the Emperor Nero. You can back up Romans 13, 1-2 on that with 1 Peter 2, verse 13. It's uniformly the teaching of Scripture. Now, it can, of course, be ever so hard to do this at times, but it's very plainly what Scripture says. Here's the point. The problem that we have and bring with us to church, you see, is that leadership is a Western cultural virtue, and submission and following God and his guiding team are very clear biblical ones. Here's the takeaway. God has got no place for followers who live life freestyle. The manifesto of his kingdom always starts with "follow me" and leads on to following those who, by following, we come closer to God. So what lies at the heart of your aspirations? Do you, in your heart of hearts, wish to be followed? Or to be primarily a follower of the Lord and his people? I've got a feeling we'll say more about this sometime this week.